I am excited about the series that we're going to start today because back when I was considering coming to Spotlight Church and I was praying about whether Helen and I should come here and sort of follow up from Pastor Aaron, who was here previously, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about was that because many of you don't know, but I have another job as well. My other job is I'm the director of church multiplication or church planting. And so I cover area from Quebec all the way to British Columbia, up into the territories, wherever the Wesleyan Church does church planting in those areas. So over the last 10 years, I got to be honest with you, there are a number of churches that I have personally closed because they had dwindled down in numbers and they weren't making it. And someone had to make that call. And so I made the call and said, you know what, it's over. And I was wondering if Spotlight Church was going to be one of those calls that I would have to make. And but when praying about it, there's a phrase that came to my mind that sort of is the heart of my series of messages here today. Is a phrase that came in my mind about Spotlight is that Spotlight is a door of faith. And I don't really understand all that that means. I know in the book of Acts there's a reference to the door of faith that that they talk about. But I believe with all my heart that Spotlight Church needed to be here in the city of Stratford because we are to be a door of faith to the rest of the community. I believe that with all my heart. And that's why we picked up and moved from Eastern Ontario all the way back to this area. And for those of you who didn't know, we used to live 5 years in Mitchell, in the big city of Mitchell, just outside of town here. And so we lived there 5 years, and we moved to Eastern Ontario. But when we got praying about Spotlight Church and really thought about it, we said that church has to remain open. And so we made that journey, and we moved here, and I don't regret it one bit. One bit at all. And I'm excited about the future that God has for us, but I believe it's a future that will only be accomplished as we put our faith in God. And no man, no woman, no person, no, I have no magic formulas, or tricks up my sleeve. Matter of fact, sometimes I wonder why the Lord even called me to be a pastor. Because I say, Lord, surely you can find someone better than me to do this. But Helen and I felt to come, and we believe that God wants Spotlight Church to be that door of faith into the rest of the city called Stratford. And so that's why today I want to begin a series of messages that talks about the whole issue of faith. Because I believe this is a year of faith, not my faith alone, and it'll include that, but also your faith as an individual and our collective faith as a body. Do we believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine? Or is it just nice platitudes and nice words, nice little phrases that we read about, then we leave church and we forget about? I believe with all my heart, regardless of whether anyone else believes it or not, that our God is able to do immeasurably more. And I believe that this year, it's going to be a year of faith, and a year when God's going to do some miracles that cannot be accredited to any person, but he will do it simply because he is God. And I love that amen. Because we need to be a faith-walking church. And to do that, we need to understand some things. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to be sort of tearing this apart a little bit. And I hope you enjoy the journey that we're on. So today, as we start the series of messages, the first message is called, What You See is What You Get. How many of you have heard that phrase before? Sure. What you see is what you get. And the same is true when it comes to the kind of eyes that we use to look on this world and the kind of things that, you know, we're expecting to see. And so if you have your Bibles today, we're in Numbers in the Old Testament. And we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13, starting at about verse 17 and going to Numbers 14 and ending off at verse 2. And I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to stick closer to the scripture and just kind of walk through the passage. And I want to share with you some things about what it means to have eyes of faith. And because what you see is what you're going to get. And if you see negativity and things are impossible, well, guess what? That's exactly what you're going to get. If you see that God is able to do immeasurably more, the Bible tells us what you see is what you're going to get. And so according to your faith, it shall be done. What kind of faith do you have? So I want us to be inspired. I want us to be lifted up in our faith and begin to believe that our God is able to do immeasurably more. So again, let's take a look at this. I'm not going to read the passage. I am going to read it, but I'm going to read it by breaking it down a little bit. But in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers 14, I want to give you a little bit of background here. The background here is that God had promised that they had promised the Israelites that they could go into the land. And the background here is that they were to inherit that land. They were to enjoy it. And so Moses was to choose 12 representatives or 12 spies that would go into the land of Canaan and into the enemy territory and sort of check it out and see what it was like. And so Moses chose 12 spies to go in and check out the land. And so in Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 to 20, it says this: Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the new land. He said, go northward through the Negev into the hill country, and notice this, and see what the land is like, and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do they have walls, or are they unprotected? How is the soil? Is it fertile? Is it poor? Are there trees? You know, enter the land boldly and bring back samples. And I always like that when you can bring back samples from someplace, as long as it's edible. So, yeah. And bring back samples of the crops you see. So in verses 17 to 20, notice there that Moses sent them with these instructions to see, to find out, and to see what they could bring back. What you see is what you're going to get. And so he really sent them on a vision trip. He sent them on a fact-finding trip. He sent them into the land to do due diligence before they actually moved everybody into the promised land. And so there's a principle here that if you are a leader in any way, you need to be reminded that before people can succeed with a goal, they must first see that goal. They must be able to imagine it, visualize it, and even taste it. And if they can do that, if they can sample it, then they can really find success in what they're doing. And that's exactly what Moses was doing here within this passage. And verses, skipping down to verse 21 to 23, it says this: so they spied out the land all the way from the wilderness up to the Hebron. And then there, again, notice the phrase, they saw the Hemanites, the Shiites, and the Talmonites, all the families descendant from Anak. And again, as you read those names there, don't confuse them with the termites, the parasites, the satellites, or the stalactites, or whatever. They're totally different things, all right? So, and the Bible goes on, it says, when they came to Eshcol, or the place, they cut down a cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it back on a pole. Now, I've been around some vineyards, but I've never seen two people around here. Anybody else carrying a cluster of grapes where it took two people to carry it? And if it took two of them, they were pretty weak. And so they sampled the pomegranates and they sampled the figs. And verses 25 to 26 in Numbers 13 says this: after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron, and the people of Israel were waiting at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them, they were massive grapes, they showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. Wow. So the 12 spies went in, had a very promising sort of fact-finding trip. They did their due diligence. They got some samples, pomegranates, figs, grapes. They did all that Moses had instructed them to do. But 10 of the 12 spies, they lacked something. What did they lack? Faith. And so as we read this story today, and as we think about this year 2019, If you lack faith, you're going to get exactly what you see in life. If you cannot believe God to do exceedingly abundantly more, then it's not going to happen. And so today I want to, again, encourage us to really to realize that when we begin to look at our future, when we begin to look at our lives, no matter what age we may be, we need to have eyes of faith. But unfortunately, many people, especially in all the negativism and all the things that happens on our televisions and all the things that we hear happen around us, all the negativism around us causes us to have eyes of fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. You cannot have two of them working simultaneously at the same time. You will either give over to one or the other. And so I want to encourage us for Spotlight Church. I believe we are that door of faith for the city of Stratford. But to be that door of faith, we cannot have eyes that see fear around every corner. And so when we look at the 12 spies that came back, 10 of them, they lacked faith, and only two of them had the faith to go in and to possess the land. So today, very quickly, because I have a cold, and I don't know how long my voice will last, and don't say amen to that, all right? Big trouble. So I want to give you six things about what happens when you begin to look at your life, not my life, but when you begin to look at your life and you look at your future through eyes of fear. Because you can hurt yourself. You can hurt your marriage. You can hurt your home. You can hurt your spiritual growth. You can hurt every single thing in your life if you look at those things through eyes of fear. Fear will dominate you and hurt you and really cause you to miss out on what God has in store for you. So what are six things that will happen if you look through eyes of fear like those 10 spies did of the 12? So number one, I get stressed by conflicting information. We live in a world that is full of conflicting information. One person will tell you one thing, they'll say, oh, no, I saw it over here on this website and it said this. So we're constantly battling misinformation in our world. Some people will watch one news channel and they'll get one kind of perspective on a story. Then you watch another news channel and they get a totally different perspective on a story. Matter of fact, I'm still blown away today that we had over 100,000 people marching down in Washington, D.C. and for the March of Life, pro-life movement, 100,000, but yet a newscast comes out and says, oh, there were only 1,000 people there. How do you even figure that? But we live in a world of misinformation, and that misinformation has caused us to throw terms around like fake news and all that stuff. But our lives today here in 2019 are full of conflicting reports. Sometimes we don't even know what to think or who do we even believe in all of this that's going on around us? And so in this passage, as we look at the story that's unfolding here, these 10 spies had what I would call eyes of fear. And they got stressed out, and they caused stress amongst the people of Israel. Notice with me verses 27 and 28. This was their report to Moses. We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing of milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit as proof. And there is always this word, but, all right. But the people there, living there, are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. And I was kind of having a little bit of fun with that name, Anak, a little bit. I said, well, maybe it's meant to say Anakin. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know, maybe it's that they were from the tribe of Anakin. And, you know, they're all sort of part of the Skywalker tribe, and the Force was strong with them or something like that. And so when you look at that people of Anak, they were people who were strong and mighty. And so when the report came to Moses, it had conflicting information. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful, but the enemies are too big, too strong. And so in our day and age, when we go to do something, even for us as a church, even in the days ahead, there will always be that conflicting perspective, that conflicting information about, well, we can do this and God is with us, but on the other hand, are you sure? Things are pretty tight right now. Oh, we're pretty small right now. We can't do that. We will always have conflicting reports about how to move forward. And so when you begin to have eyes of fear, you will begin to be gravitate towards that misinformation, and you begin to really let that fear take over. The second thing that eyes of fear will do to you is it will cause you to develop a scarcity mentality. A scarcity mentality. It's interesting to me in verse 29, it says the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So when they were reporting this to Moses, basically when you look at verse 29, they're saying, there's people everywhere. There's no room for us. We can't do it. And so they begin to have this scarcity mentality that says, you know, there's not enough to go around. If we go in there, where are we going to live? Everything, they've got all the good spots covered. And that's what happens when people become fearful in life. They begin to look around and they say, you know what? Boy, I'm not sure if my God's big enough to really supply. And so for the Israelites, or for the 10 spies, they are essentially saying to Moses, there's really no room for us. Why did God bring us here? And their scarcity mentality kicked in. And when I talk about scarcity mentality, is basically, if I was to give you a definition of it, is that there won't be enough to go around. And it's amazing to me the number of believers today that have a concept of God that says, oh, God can only do so much. Don't push him too much because there's only so much to go around. That's not true. That's a lie. And so a scarcity mentality based on fear and worry. Matter of fact, some of us, we might even have that kind of scarcity mentality in our lives today. You know, we get scared when we go out looking for a job. And we say, oh, boy, I'm not going to look for a job. All the good ones are taken. You know, or a lady's going looking for a man, or a man's looking for a lady to marry. All the good husbands are taken. All the good wives are already taken. Boy, I'm not going to find anybody. And we begin to have this negative thinking that God can't supply my needs because all the good ones are gone. So today I want to encourage you as a church family, as we move forward, we must push back strongly and mightily on scarcity thinking. I believe in a God who's, he doesn't have a limited supply. If he wants something to happen, it will happen. If a miracle is to take place, whether it's here or there, or wherever, God will do that miracle, and he has lots of power and ability to do that, and even more so. And so those 10 spies, they began to have that scarcity mentality, which sort of just added to their fear. And let me stop here today. How many of us live our lives every day like that? Boy, if I pray about that, I'm not sure. I remember when we were doing our church planting, and our first church plant we did, I mean, you had to go out and raise your own money, and I think the first year I raised about $85,000 towards a church plant, and I remember people saying to me, oh, that will never happen again. I can't believe you even got that because, you know, there's only so much to go around. People don't have a lot of money to give to those sort of things. Well, the second year we went out and we raised $62,000. And then the third year we raised $35,000. But it's amazing to me that people would say that there's only so much to go around. I just reject that kind of thinking. Our God is able to do more than that. And I just encourage you as a church family, don't get caught up into that kind of fearful, worried thinking that there's only so much goes around. If God wants you to find the right person for you to get married to, he will provide that person. If you need a job that's going to meet your needs, he will meet those needs. He always has more than enough to take care of us and to provide in our lives. But our problem is that we have eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith. You will get what you see is what you will get. I'm having fun. I don't know about you. The third one here is I fulfill my self-defeating prophecies. It's amazing to me how people just prophesy defeat over their own lives. Now, you have to know this morning that I'm not what you would call a classic charismatic person. I don't go out distributing prophecies over people and things like that. Matter of fact, I'm still kind of a newbie in all those sort of things that related to that. But I do know this, that words have power. And if we start looking and speaking over our own lives with defeat and failure, that's exactly what you're going to get if you begin to talk that way. And so only two of the spies have faith, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And they spoke and they said, God is with us. Let's go up and possess the land. There's a couple of principles coming out of this that I think is always true. And this will be true for us at Spotlight as we try to move ahead. People who trust God are always in the minority. It is, even in a church. People who really trust in the power of the living God are always in a minority. And the second principle is that there are always more worriers and naysayers and fretful people and fearful people and negative people than there are positive. Matter of fact, our disposition is so much that I find it easy to be negative, don't you? Matter of fact, it just comes very natural. I could very easily be negative, but to be more faith-walking and more of a positive look and really believing God for the impossible comes a little bit harder. And so when I look at this story of the 12 spies, people who trust God are always in the minority, and there's always more worriers and negative people than there is positive. And that's true. And so when you try to live your life, you're going to encounter that. And so you need to be careful that you don't fall into that trap, that you don't fall into the majority of people who are worriers and naysayers, fall into the majority of people who are speaking defeat over their own lives, and what they speak is what they're going to get. I want to encourage as a church family, as we look at 2019, to believe that God is with us and that he wants to do great things through his church, not only Spotlight, but even the Baptist church, even the Pentecostal church, even every name of church. I believe God wants to do great things. And so if we just say, oh, well, we're too small, we can't do that. Golly gee, you know, we're just nothing. Then that's exactly what you're going to get in life. And so when we have eyes of fear, we fulfill our self-defeating prophecies. Verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with Caleb said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And of course, those who trust God are always in the minority. In our lives and even in the days ahead as a church, we have some bold decisions ahead of us as a congregation. And we have to decide if we're going to take those risks or if we're just going to sort of hunker down here at the Festival Inn Hotel and hang on till Jesus comes. This is a year of faith. And if Spotlight Church is going to be that door of faith, we've got to go. We've got to move forward and not hold on or hunker down or hoard because God doesn't have very much. We need to begin to boldly believe God for incredible things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I wanted to get that off my chest. Number four, I infect others with my negativity. If I have eyes of fear, I begin to infect those around me, and they begin to become fearful as well. And that happens all the time. Verse 32 says, and they spread a bad report among the land they had, about the land they had explored. And those dirty 10 spies, they just went out there and they inflicted their negativity about the land and got people all discombobulated about everything. And they just became negative and defeated. And it's amazing how a little bit of negativity into the recipe can really affect the whole batch. One person wisely stated that fear is the dark room where the negatives are developed. Let me say that again for you. Fear is the dark room where the negatives are developed. And so again, if we have eyes of fear, we begin to have that negativity and we begin to really pass it on to people around us. And you know what? I just don't want to be that kind of a person. As a matter of fact, if you're ever in a conversation with me and your conversation is going negative, don't get upset at me if I excuse myself from your conversation because I want nothing to do with it. I believe that there is so much negativity around that it's time that the people of God really hold out the promises of God, nothing more, nothing less, and we become a people who are a faith-walking people who have strong beliefs that God is able to do immeasurably more, whatever the circumstances. I don't want to inflict negativity on others. I want to speak life into others. And I want to encourage all of us to do that. Number five, if I have eyes of fear, I see myself as inadequate. How many of us are seeing ourselves as inadequate for the challenges of life? Because fear has overtaken us, we think, I can't do that. I'm inadequate. I can't do this or that. I can't make this move or that move because I'm inadequate. I think the greatest scheme of the devil is to make us feel as the children of the living God that we are inadequate. That is not true. And so when eyes of fear dominate versus eyes of faith, we begin to have that feeling of being inadequate for the challenges that lie ahead. And that's what happened exactly in the story. Verses 32 and verse 33, they said, the land we explored, and notice the words they used here, the land we explored devours. Just chew them up, right? That's what the word devour means. It means to be almost like a cannibal. They're gonna chew us up like cannibals would. And so the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people, not just a few, all. You ever notice that when you're in an argument with a negative person? That everyone is doing it. You're always like that. So when things are negative, they always say all. And so in this story, they said all the people we saw there, not just a few, were of great size. Now, I had fun thinking about this passage, great size. I kind of feel like I'm a big guy. I don't know. I just feel like I'm of great size. Matter of fact, especially after Christmas, I feel like my size is greater. All right? So I feel like I'm of great size. I don't know. Did they mean people my size or even bigger? You know, I kind of trying to put myself into the story. Then it goes on and says, we saw giants there. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And notice this. And we looked the same to them. So they were feeling very inadequate for the challenge ahead. They had gotten their eyes off of their God who has done incredible miracles for them. Why have they forgotten all these things? And they began to feel inadequate for the challenge that lie ahead of them of moving into the promised land. It's amazing to me as I look at that passage. Again, it says, we seem like grasshoppers. And notice that phrase, in our own eyes. How do you see yourself today? How do you see yourself? I just hope and pray that you don't see yourself as a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as inadequate. You are not. You and I have been knit together, and you and I have been put together on this earth for a purpose. You have gifts and abilities, no matter who you are, you have gifts and abilities that Spotlight Church needs you to use so that we can be healthy and strong as the body of Christ. How do we feel in our own eyes? Do we feel like grasshoppers? We're insignificant. And it's amazing there, as I looked at it, it says, they don't know this. They didn't interview them and talk to them. Hey, do we look like a grasshopper in your eyes too? You know, they didn't interview them, but it's amazing how they said, we appeared the same to them. And the principle there is that we project our fears onto others. Boy, if I'm feeling fearful about this, obviously you're feeling fearful about this. But that's not the case. I want to encourage us here at Spotlight Church at the beginning of this year to realize that we are not inadequate. God has a great plan for us as a body. He has a place that he wants us to be. He wants us to be that door of faith into the city of Stratford. But we must believe that God is able and that we are adequate for the challenge that lies ahead, not because of our strength, but the strength of the Holy Spirit that works and flows through us. And finally this morning, see, my voice is starting to give out, so it's a good thing I'm coming down to the end. Finally this morning, I make myself miserable. I make myself miserable. And by the way, you probably make everybody else around you miserable when you are a fearful person. Numbers 14, 1-2 says this. Excuse me. Then all the people began weeping aloud. And they cried, boo-hoo, they cried all night, and they grumbled and complained in a great chorus against their leaders, Moses and Aaron. We wish we died in Egypt, and even here in the wilderness, they wailed. Isn't it interesting how scripture is? I'm telling you, when I read this, I thought that is definitely all the major ingredients of a full-blown pity party. You ever have a full-blown pity party where you've got crying, complaining, and second-guessing going on? I mean, that's exactly what was happening here. You know, they were crying and wailing. They were complaining about everything going on. And, of course, they were second-guessing their leaders. They were second-guessing what the future was like. And that's exactly what was happening here. And because they were doing that, they were making themselves miserable as a people. Sometimes church people, one of their greatest gifts is in making themselves miserable. I think God's people should be the most joyful, excited, delighted people on the face of this earth. Because of not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And so today I want to encourage you that if you feel like you're in your life that you're having that full-blown pity party, there's a lot of crying and wailing. You know, the church is this, the church is that. There's bad here, there's bad there. There's a boogeyman here, the boogeyman there. You're second-guessing about church and all that. I just encourage you, don't give in to the scheme of the devil. Don't let him have that heyday with your life, because you will be miserable, and again, you will inflict that misery on others as well. So as we look at these are six things. I probably could go on and give you some other things about what happens when you begin to look at your future ahead with eyes of fear. I want us to look at our future here at Spotlight with eyes of faith going forward, eyes of faith. And that's the antidote to the eyes of fears, is learn to look at your future with faith. Faith always trumps fear. Faith creates confidence. Faith gets you moving, going forward. Faith is forward thinking. Faith is really believing that and what God said in His word is true. Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, "And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go at once and take possession of the land right now.'" In other words, get your coat, we're going. "And we can certainly do this." Here's 10 who gave a negative report, but yet here's Caleb saying, "Listen, people, be quiet. Let's get your coat. We're going now. We can do this." And so really Caleb was saying, stop defeating yourself. Stop doing this paralysis of analysis that sometimes happens within churches and organizations, and forget about the fear and begin to believe that God is able to do it. Stop listening to your feelings. Stop looking into your fear. Start living in faith. Believe God will help you and that you will see the miracles. Boy, I'm excited because I believe 2019 is a year of faith. Not my faith. What about your faith? What about the faith of us collectively as a church? How badly do we want to see the glory of God in 2019? If we want to see the glory of God, we must make sure we stop nursing our worries. I want to encourage you, even as a response to this message today, to think of something you need to do that is a faith commitment. For some of us, that faith commitment may be, I'm going to pray out loud where I've never done that before. I'm going to take a step forward instead of being stalled and saying, oh, I can't pray out loud. Maybe for some of us, it may be in our financial giving. Maybe we think in the year 2019, you know, I can't tithe, but can I take a step towards tithing? And maybe begin to give something a little bit more. I think every single one of us needs to think about in 2019, what area of our lives can we begin to take incremental steps of faith and push back against fear and move out against fear and let faith begin to reign in our lives. I think one of the saddest verses that is in the Bible, and I conclude with this before our worship team comes to close out the service. One of the saddest verses is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. And it talks about this story. It says, "So we see that we were not able to enter because of their unbelief." I wonder what we're missing out in life because we've stopped believing. Matter of fact, I had a conversation this morning with another pastor, and I said, what's happening to the church? Why don't we believe in this God that we talk about? Why don't we believe that he's able to do immeasurably more? In my life and my ministry, I have refused to dilute the promises of God. God says, ask and it shall be given unto you. It's so easy to say, but what about this, this, and this? If he said it, it settles it in my world. And so I want to encourage you today, as we think about the next 6 weeks, to have eyes of faith, not eyes of fear, because fear will destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your children. It will work through like yeast within bread. It will spread through all of it. And I want to encourage you to push back and make 2019 a year of faith. Let's stand together in closing. Just as the worship team comes, we're going to sing just a couple of verses of that chorus, God is able. And as we close it out today, I just wonder if maybe some of us, we just need to make a recommitment. Maybe 2018 was a year where we really got bullied around. Maybe the giants in the land have really gotten the best of us. Maybe the giants have really bullied us and been tyrants within our life, and maybe we have been tossed around big time. I think today as a congregation and as individuals, we need to take a stand by faith and say, you know what, no more. I'm putting my faith in the living God. No more am I going to let fear and negativity just kind of dominate everything that I do and the way I look at life. I'm not going to prophesy over my life anymore about failures and say, I can't be that man, or I can't be that woman, or I can't be that husband or wife. Yes, you can if you want to be. Lord, this morning, I'm just praying and asking that you would just pour out your presence and your power right here at Spotlight Church. Yes, I pray for other churches, but Lord, I know we need it. I'm asking God that you'd help us as a people, that we would not just merely exist as a church, but we would be a faith-walking people, and that we would realize that we are that door of faith into this city, and that you need us. You need us and everything we bring. And God, we want to respond when you say, who shall I send? We want to respond and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Help me to put aside the excuses. Help me to stop seeing myself as inadequate. Help me to stop being negative and listening to the negative conversation of others. But God, help us to be your body, your eyes, your ears, your voice, your hands, your feet within this city and within this region and within this world. Lord, come, help us to take steps of faith even this very morning and begin to push back on the fear. Whatever that fear may be, help us to push back on it. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this in closing this morning.